to Oh Baby, the laid-back podcast about pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. I'm your host, Alessia Plahi. Today's guest is Carly Ray. Carly Ray is a structural integration Rolf practitioner, a full spectrum doula, a somatic sex educator, and a holistic reproductive health practitioner. She is the owner of Well Woman Care, and her work is transitioning online to teach women to do hands-on womb and pelvic work, including better understanding their menstrual cycles, their fertility, and their sexual organs. She utilizes hands-on manual therapy, trauma-informed care, movement education, breath work, herbal medicine, mindfulness practice, visualization, and energy healing to help women better rediscover their vulvas. Carly, did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
So nice to have you on with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I read a lot about what you do just now, but I bet you there are still some women that are listening that aren't exactly sure and want to know kind of what your background is and how you came to this work and what it really all means. And I was one of those women that wasn't sure. And so when I went on your website and I read a description that you had on there, it really all came together for me. And so I just really want to take a moment to read this for the listeners.
Awesome.
I was first introduced to healing therapies at 16 years old when my mom and I started doing yoga and going for massage therapy and energy healing. Paired with growing up on the farm, taking care of baby animals, watching and sometimes helping animals give birth, being in nature and the garden all the time, I grew with a deep connection to our natural world and life cycles. My mom and grandmother taught me about working with plants, the land, holistic healing, traditional cooking, connecting with the moon. My dad and grandfather taught me about connecting with and caring for animals, as well as caring for the land we grew up on. I spent my days wandering in the bushes or roaming the land on my horse. My ancestry and the way I grew up deeply informs the work I do now. My work has led me to heal my body, sexual traumas, and deep wounds I held in my body, belly, and pelvis. I have regained myself. I listen to my inner wisdom. I trust my resilient spirit. I've found freedom, lightness, and a deeper connection within my own body and mind. I believe in destigmatizing and normalizing the vulva, vagina, breasts, menstruation, birth, postpartum, menopause. Normalizing living in a body with a uterus and ovaries, educating people about the absolute importance of these organs and their functions on physical, spiritual, and energetic levels throughout our whole lives. My work is this calling, you said. My art, my craft. I invite you to walk this path with me. And what does that mean? Carly says that my wish for you is that through my work, you feel less alone, less broken, less mistrusting of yourself and your body. My wish for you is that through my work, you feel more in sync with your body, trust your innate ability to heal, capable of hearing the whispers within, and know without a doubt that you are able to take care of yourself and love yourself in a gentle and fierce way. This work lives in you, and I hope you're able to witness this, feel this, and know it to be true for yourself. I want you to understand the science of your anatomy and the sacredness of your being.
I haven't heard those words in a long time.
You wrote them and you live them, you manifest them. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Who am I? Well, everything that you just read, that's really who I am. I'm a simple farm girl. I grew up on a farm in nowhere, middle of nowhere, Saskatchewan. But I'm very blessed to have a mother who was adamant about teaching me about my body and how to care for my body and teaching me a different path than the Western medicine pedestalization of doctors path. So yeah, I am a devotee to the feminine and to the body and to just being totally in service to our flesh and our blood, really, and to the land that we live on, because it's all one and the same. It's all interconnected. You can't separate all of that, right? And what I do is I teach other people about their bodies. And really, it's as simple as that. It's the education that we all should have got in our younger years that we never got about our about the way our whole body works, about our menstruation, about our sexuality, our breasts, our nervous system, our digestion, so that we can actually be human beings and be in this world rather than just, you know, living with our head in the sand in this rat race 9 to 5. That's really sucking the soul out of everybody.
I mentioned earlier that you are transitioning your hands-on work to online only, and I joined your workshop last weekend. I think it was the day before Valentine's Day, so I found it very fitting to kind of fall in love with my vagina that day.
Yes.
And begin doing that work. And there were four quotes that I wrote down that you said during that workshop, and I just want to read them aloud and maybe have you kind of spin off of that. The first thing was, you said you want women to have a relationship with their vaginas, and you said you want that relationship to be intentional. So what is a relationship with your vagina, or my vagina, or my mom's vagina, or my friend's vagina? Why is this relationship important, Carly? And how do you be intentional about it?
Well, it's important because it's where it's like our vagina and our uterus is the source of life. If vaginas and uteruses didn't exist, none of us would be here. And on an energetic, spiritual level, it is the place where spirit enters our body and spirit exits our body. And we have been brought up in a world that has zero reverence for that. And it, you know, this is abstracting out to quite a spiritual level. But when we look at all the dis-ease that women are experiencing today, endometriosis, PCOS, infertility, you name it, to me, it all comes down to that lack of reverence for the body that we live in. You know, 200, 400 years ago, when we used to live on the land and bleed on the land and live in sync with our cyclical nature, we had this deep reverence, respect, love, relationship with our body, with our blood, with our vulvas and vaginas and uteruses, and we lived around that cycle. Our cycle is what governed our way of living. And we are totally fucking disconnected from that now. Our menstruation is a burden. We're taught that it's a burden and just something we have to bear with in our lives. And that is a spell that's been cast upon us by our colonialistic society that we live in. So what an intentional way of being in relationship with this part of our body is touching ourselves on a regular basis, and not touching ourselves with a goal in mind, a goal of climax or orgasm. It's just touching ourselves to get to know our tissue, touching our blood, and being in connection, living in a cyclical way with our inherent rhythm in our body, not forcing our body to, you know, to do a lot of exertion and force all the time, truly listening to the whispers that our body has to tell us. Yeah. And it's truly being connected to our feminine selves, because we live in such a masculinized ego world where everything is so external. It's coming back internal into our bodies and into our being, and listening to that, not just shutting it down and stuffing it down all the time like we've been conditioned to do.
Yeah. It's interesting that you said that we've been conditioned to hate our periods, right?
To
hate the way we act on our periods. Oh, I'm PMSing, or I'm bitchy, or oh, my rag came again, right? It's not something that we celebrate as the feminine and the divine, and something that's important and beautiful. And so I thought that I think that the work you're doing is very unique because you want to embrace that again.
Exactly. And that part of that is embracing our bitchiness and our messiness and the chaos that lives within us, because that is the feminine, the mystery, the wildness. And we've been raised, we have generations upon generations of good girls that are quiet and calm and just nice. And that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. You know, that's not the feminine, and that's not the full true expression of our bodies and our beings.
Two other quotes that I heard you say during the workshop. You said, "Vaginas are wild shapeshifters." And you also said, "I changed my whole vagina with just breath work." Tell us about breath work and shapeshifting. You started talking about how the answer to kind of reawakening is to start touching ourselves again, and not with the goal of achieving orgasm, but just to get to know your vagina. Take us through that and talk to us about breath work and alignment. That was a word that I heard come up a lot, whole body alignment.
Yeah. So breath work, our breath is our most powerful tool for change in the body. Most of us are breathing at 5% capacity of what our lung capacity truly fully is. And when we're not using our lungs to their full capacity, we are restricting flow on every level in our body: blood flow, lymph flow, nerve function, energetic flow. And that is essentially starving our whole system from life force energy, from nutrients, from oxygen. So when we really start to work with our breath on a deeply intentional level on a daily basis, and start to move our pelvic diaphragm, we are moving everything on every, literally, energetic, physical levels throughout our whole body. And just changing that in the body will change so much. It'll start to support your pelvis in opening. It's going to change your blood flow. When we do proper diaphragmatic breathing, we massage our internal organs. There's so many levels to it. And then, like, for me, how I changed my vagina with just breath work was by having my fingers inserted into my vagina and feeling my pelvic diaphragm move with my breath. And that's the key, because so many of us breathe so shallow that we're not feeling any movement on the inside of us. And our bodies are meant to be these expressive, moving, mobile beings, really tapping back into our animalistic body. But so many of us live in this state of, like, freeze, fawning, where we're just, like, keeping ourselves so small and immobile and stuck. That stuck, stagnant aspect that we hold on to in our structures is essentially, like, killing us, a slow death, a slow and painful death. So when we start to work with our breath in this big, deep way, we open our bodies up to so many possibilities. And that's the whole point of the work, is having a structure and a body that is open to all possibilities. We don't want to keep ourselves so stuck that nothing is possible within us, right?
The next quote I heard you say is, "I've seen wild shit heal." That seems like a pretty good transition from what you just said to there's so much possible, you know, when you start doing this work.
Exactly.
What have you seen, Carly Rae?
Well, you know, it's like I'm working with a woman right now she's 81 years old and has wild scar tissue in her body from some pretty gnarly surgeries, a pretty gnarly ectopic pregnancy removal. And her scar tissue is pretty much non-existent, those 55-year-old scar tissue. And she thought that she had a stage 2, stage 3 pelvic prolapse, and urinary incontinence and diverticulitis. And you know, after doing this work and unwinding her scar tissue and mending it back into the healthy tissue that's there and supporting her pelvis to come back into alignment, all of it's gone. And I'm not saying, like, I don't claim that any of this is, it's not me doing it. I'm just educating these people in how to work with their bodies and support their bodies to come back into alignment, so that our bodies are wired to heal, right? Ida Rolf, the woman who created structural integration or Rolfing, believed that when we lived in an organized body and gravity or energy could flow through our system without any impediment, that the body healed, that or the body would evolve to a higher level of consciousness, because that is what the body is meant to do. And all of our, you know, our shitty postural habits, our twisted pelvis, our collapsed rib cage, our head forward carrying, the scar tissue and adhesion that we hold in our bodies, it's all of that stuff is supporting and holding our body in a place of dis-ease and imbalance. And when we remove that out of the way and we support the body to open up the layers of the fascial system, we support the structure to come back into alignment and balance, the body does wild things, because we are innately wired to heal. And it's, you know, a big part of the healing journey is just our mind, how we have been so conditioned by the medical system that things can't heal, that like so many doctors tell women that prolapse can't heal, and that's a bunch of bullshit. It can heal. It's just the medical system doesn't know anything about healing, about being in a thriving, radiant body. They know about symptom control, right? Stage four endometriosis too. I've seen that heal and totally vanish. Cervical dysplasia. So many different things.
And I'm guessing that those are physical things that heal, right? I'm guessing that there is a whole world of emotional healing that goes on during this practice.
Absolutely. You know, it's just people remember truly who they are and what their body is capable of. And it's a deep reclamation of our true selves, this kind of work.
So if you were to give a short summary of what the work looks like, and what you take women through during your workshop and what you've been doing for the last decade plus, you know, maybe vaginal mapping is a decent term to use. What does that look like? How do you do it?
Well, it all starts with education, educating women about their bodies, about their anatomy, because to me, that's one of the most important aspects, because so many people don't even know what it is that they're touching. They don't know what their labia is. They don't know where their clitoris is. They don't know where their urethra is. They don't know where their urine comes out of their body. And you have to know the map to your geography. The deeper you know your map, the deeper that your intention and attention is going to go in your body and create shifts and changes. So that's the first part. I teach people about their anatomy. And then I teach them how to touch themselves. So many of us hold on to so much fear and shame around touching our bodies, especially our genitals. And so I guide people through a process of touching themselves in an explorative way of getting to know your tissue and how your tissue feels in this moment, how it could feel after doing this work for a number of weeks or months, and when it comes to the organ work that I teach, where these organs should sit in your body, because that is so important. We want things to be in their rightful spot, because it's all about calling our body back home to where it functions at its optimal place. And then after teaching people how to touch themselves, then I teach people, you know, different self-care practices to support them on this journey. Practices that we've been doing for thousands of years when we used to live on the land, in sync with the moon, in sync with our cycles. It's really just wise woman tradition, wisdom that has been taken from us and is, I'm just handing it back, essentially back into the hands of where it belongs, right?
Yeah, when I partook in the vaginal mapping or touching myself portion of the workshop, you talked about, you know, finding areas in your vulva when you're touching around there that might be granular or guitar strings or tight ropes. And when I kind of heard you talking about this before I actually did it, I thought, I'm not going to be able to feel that. There's no way, right?
Yeah.
But then I did, and it was
exactly
the tiniest little bead, but it was there. And then it was, you know, this tiny, very thin line that it was there. I could feel it was like a guitar string. And then you warned us, you said, listen, ladies, it might be radically different on the other side. And the other side was totally different. And then you talked about, you know, crossing your legs and how that's one of the reasons that the two sides could be different. And I just literally just now talking to you, I uncrossed my legs because I realized I was doing it again. So it's real. You know, this isn't just, let's go touch ourselves and talk about the moon. This is real scar tissue healing that you're teaching women to do on their own in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah. And it's, to me, it's just such a necessary step, especially in our evolution of our society. Women have really been stuck in a place of this damsel archetype, not taking responsibility for their own bodies and their health and just handing it over to the medical system or their partners in their lives. And this is, it's radical self-responsibility work, truly getting to know our own bodies, our own tissue, knowing how to work with our tissue, knowing how to support our body to come back into balance and harmony, and not handing our power and our health over to anyone else, any other authority, because that all needs to stop.
And what if it did stop? What if 9 out of 10 women did what you taught them to do?
We would live in a radically different world. Our birth would be different. Women's health would be different. Our fertility rates would be different. We would be living in a world of women who are self-responsible and own themselves.
Switching gears just a little bit, I want to talk very quickly about my mom, who after every shower lubricates herself in oil. Cream. She creams herself every time. She puts cream on. And she always told me it's important to put cream on. And I do it when I have time, which is not very often. I usually just take a shower and I never really cream myself. I'll put cream on my face and my neck, but not my whole body. During the workshop, you said skin oiling, that's what you called it. You said it's so important because it lubricates your nerves. And you said this is the largest organ of your body. And I'm thinking, organ? Your skin's not an organ. And then I Googled it and it is. So, you know, it has to do with what you said earlier, which is that we have no idea where our urethra is, where our clitoris is, you know, what our labia is, you know, our vulva, our anus, all this. So the anatomy was very helpful and I can relate to that. But this skin oiling, talk a little bit about that. Why is it so important to put cream or oil on your skin?
So I want to differentiate between this. Like, I love that your mom does it, but most people that lotion their bodies are using lotions or creams that are full of fucking petrochemicals and just a bunch of garbage. And that's, we're not doing this. Like, obviously one of the side effects of skin oiling is you're going to have this beautiful, radiant, supple skin, which is nice. But that's not the purpose or the intention behind doing this. And I only use high quality olive oil, jojoba oil, almond oil, coconut oil, shea butter, things like that. I don't use anything that is that has any kind of chemicals on it, because our skin is our largest organ, and everything that we put on our skin is absorbed throughout our whole system, goes into our bloodstream, goes into our digestive system, and just creates our even more, like, we live in an extremely toxic world. And the more shit we put on our skin, the more toxic our body becomes. So there's that aspect of it. And the whole point of skin oiling is nourishing this organ, nourishing our skin. Our nerves innervate our skin. That's why we have feeling and sensation on it. And we want a nervous system. We want our skin to be supple and hydrated and fluid. Anything that is dehydrated in the body becomes hardened and adhered and becomes a place for disease and imbalance. And it is one of the most nourishing practices that I do for my body is skin oiling.
Carly Rae, what can women who want to get pregnant take from the practice that you bring, that you will teach them? How can this impact fertility and women who are looking to get pregnant?
Well, that's a massive, massive subject. That's a whole class in and of itself, fertility. But a big aspect of fertility that I see is we spend all our teen years, you know, either on birth control or just with the thought pattern. I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want to get pregnant.
Yep.
And then once we decide, boom, I want to get pregnant, we expect our body to just fucking turn on and do what we want it to do. And it doesn't work that way. There are massive consequences to being on any kind of birth control. And you can't expect your body to just flip and do what you want it to do with when you've been telling it to do the total opposite for years. So to me, a huge aspect of no matter what it is that you're working with, endo, fertility issues, it all comes down to what is your relationship with your body. If you have this self-hatred running through your mind about your body, about your menstrual cycle all the time, of course your body's not going to want to do what you want it to do, you know? You have to cultivate a loving, reverent fucking relationship with your body. This is the whole point of this human existence, in my opinion, is to be deeply, deeply in service and in love to the flesh that you live in.
And what about pregnant women, the ones that are preparing for birth, maybe 36 weeks, 37 weeks, feeling a little anxious, have no idea what they can expect, want that vaginal birth very badly?
Well, they should have started that education before getting to 36 weeks. So this, I have a big, big, I'm quite radical when it comes to my thoughts around pregnancy and birth. And pregnancy and birth is the largest marathon the female body will ever, ever go through. And the amount of people that prepare for that marathon is minimal. You can't just show up at a marathon and think you're going to kill it without doing a single day of work for it. So conscious conception is where the whole conversation needs to go to. People need to start preparing for their birth 6 to 12 months before they even get pregnant. And now if you are 36 weeks pregnant and this is just becoming a realization for you, I would look into Jane Hardwick Collins' work. She's a midwife out of Australia. She's absolutely brilliant and does a lot of birth prep work. And it's, again, start talking to your body, start talking to your baby, start touching your vulva, your vagina, your perineum, start opening up that tissue and prepare yourself as much as you can for the birth that you want.
What about women who have birthed, whether they had that vaginal birth or a C-section? There's going to be some scar tissue there, probably tearing.
Yeah, it doesn't, I get this question all the time. It's like, what about this situation? What about that situation? Because we all want, you know, a different diagnosis and like,
It's the same work.
Exactly. It's all the same thing, no matter what it is that you're experiencing. It's all about the relationship to living in your body and how you actually are being inside your body. It's like, are you doing practices and living in a way that is keeping your body tight and restricted and unexpressive? or are you allowing your animal body to totally come through and working with your tissue on that level? You know, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with. It's all the same thing in my approach to the work.
We're going to get to a very fun part of the interview as we near the conclusion of it. And it's called the lightning round. I'm going to ask you a series. I'm going to say a series of words or phrases, and you're going to tell me what your opinion is on that thing and why.
Okay.
Fallopian tubes.
Not a fan of it, because fallopian was the doctor who discovered, and I'm putting discovered in air quotes, that structure, and they're actually uterine tubes.
Pelvic floor.
Pelvic floor, I am not a fan of either. Floors do not exist in the body. It's a pelvic diaphragm. It's a moving, living, breathing structure within the body.
Kegels.
Kegels, I do not agree with. They just create more tension and constriction and hypertonicity within our pelvic diaphragm. It's all about lengthening and opening.
Vaginal reconstructive surgery
is a waste of time. Not a fan. Doesn't last. It's, again, doing the work. Surgery is 90% not necessary. 90% of the time not necessary. People just need to do the fucking work.
Yoga balls.
Yoga balls, super fan of sitting on balls, especially when we work at a computer or have a sitting job. A lot of where we sit throughout our day, sitting on a ball is one of the best things that we can do for our pelvis and our pelvic diaphragm.
This one's related. Sitting on your tailbone or reclining in a chair all day.
Yeah, we all slouch, not a fan of it. We all slouch way too much. And we are literally, when we sit on our tailbone and sacrum, we're sitting on our whole spine and creating a huge amount of tension throughout our whole nervous system and spine. And that's just keeping our body in this state of restriction and fight or flight, and does not serve us at all.
Yoni eggs.
Not a fan of yoni eggs. They just can perpetuate this hypertonicity throughout the pelvic diaphragm.
Doing any type of tucking poses during yoga.
Tucking, again, tucking is horrible for our pelvis, and we all need to stop tucking our pelvis. Our tailbone is meant to come back and out, and we're meant to have this really expressive tail. Not a tail that is tucked underneath us, which is keeping our body stuck in this sympathetic nervous system holding pattern.
Crossing your legs when you sit.
Throws the whole pelvis out of alignment, not a fan. We want to support our bodies in being in alignment, in being in balance, and not doing shitty patterns that we do all the time that throw us off.
Eating raw eggs.
Super big fan. I do not support vegetarian diets at all. We need to be consuming raw eggs, beef or chicken liver, bone broth, foods like that. Traditional foods that our grandparents grew up on that truly nourish and build and support our hormonal system, support our metabolic system in our body. Not foods that just deplete us to make us look a certain way.
Last lightning round question. The perfect, tight, porn-worthy vagina.
Is a fucking myth and a fallacy that has been perpetuated in our white body supremacist culture to make us all think that we should look one certain way. And it's bullshit. Vulvas are like snowflakes. They are all extremely unique to you and have their own signature imprint. And the more we get comfortable with our vulva, the more we will fall in love with it and not want that perfect little porn vulva.
Carly Rae, I think, speaking of falling in love, some of my listeners must have fallen in love with you already. Is there anything else that you want to say?
Hmm. Anything else? Leaving words, I would say just, you know, really sit with what is your relationship with your body and how can you cultivate it on a deeper level, instead of just this superficial level of what I look like, what my hair looks like, what are my eyebrows shaped, you know? Our relationship with our body is a lot fucking deeper than that, or it should be at least.
Carly Rae, thanks for existing. Thanks for bringing your wisdom to the masses. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to check her out, it's carlyrae.ca.
You've been listening to Oh Baby, the laid-back podcast about pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. See you next time.